Well, we're continuing our sermon series in the Gospel of Mark. At the beginning, we introduced it by saying that Mark is a gospel that is very honest about things. And one of the things that Mark is very honest about in his gospel is the conflict between Jesus and other religious leaders, and particularly the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. We don't actually know a great deal about the origin of the Pharisees or even what the name Pharisee meant, but the one thing that we do know for certain about the Pharisees is that they were a group of people who were very, very focused on keeping God's law. That, for them, was the priority of their lives. We must keep God's law. And they were so keen to help people to make sure that they did not break any of God's laws that they went to very great lengths to explain and to establish exactly what the law said. And so they counted all the commands in the Old Testament, and they discovered that there were 613 commands in the Old Testament, 248 positives, 365 do nots. They counted all the commands. And then for each of those commands, they gave very detailed lists and instructions about how exactly you should keep every one of those 613 commands. And those detailed instructions became known as the traditions of the elders. And Mark refers to them later on in his gospel. Let me give you a couple of examples of the sort of things that were included in the traditions of the elders. One of the things that the Pharisees took very seriously was the command to keep the Sabbath and not to do any work on the Sabbath. And so they identified 39 types of work which were forbidden on the Sabbath, and they put them out there in a list. And then for every one of those 39 types of work, they had a sublist that ran into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of little activities that were part of that work that you must not do on the Sabbath. Another thing that the Pharisees were very, very keen on was they wanted to excel in the area of fasting. Let me give you a little bit of a Bible quiz. How many commands are there about fasting in the Old Testament? Have a guess. There's one. There is one command about fasting in the Old Testament. And in that command, how many times should a Jew fast? What was the frequency of fasting that was required for a Jew? Once a year. That's the law in the Old Testament. One command to fast once a year. Now, from your knowledge of the New Testament, how many times did the Pharisees fast? If you've read the parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray, and he said, "Father, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I tithe and I fast." You perhaps need to read that parable again sometime, don't you? "I fast twice a week." The Pharisees fasted twice a week. God had said once a year. So they did it 101 times more per year than God had commanded. So keen were they to keep God's law, they did so much more than was required of them. So keeping Sabbath and fasting were two things that the Pharisees put a lot of weight on. And all of that helps us to understand what's going on in the passage from Mark that we're about to read. You'll find it on page 949 of the Church Bibles. If you would like a copy of the Bible to have in front of you, our hospitality team will happily come and bring you one. Just raise a hand. It will be appearing on the screen as well. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 is where we're reading from. Now we read this. "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, 'How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?' Jesus answered, 'How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If they do, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And people do not pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is only lawful for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" So you can see why the Pharisees were so upset with Jesus. They made such a big thing of fasting, and Jesus and his disciples seemed to be completely ignoring the question of fasting. They go to great lengths to spell out all the things that people cannot do on the Sabbath, and Jesus and his disciples seem to go around doing all of those things. And so they get really upset with Jesus, and there's a conflict. And Jesus speaks to them, and he replies, and he makes a number of important statements in that passage, but we're just going to look at one of them. It's the one that's in Mark chapter 2, verse 22, where Jesus says this, "People do not pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined." No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. So what's that all about? In Jesus' day, a wineskin was made out of an animal skin, usually a goat skin. The goat would be suitably prepared. In other words, it would meet its end and be killed. And then the skin would be prepared. The hair would be removed from the skin, and then the legs and the tail cut off and those openings sealed. And then wine would be poured into the neck opening, and then that would be sealed. And it would end up looking something like this, an artist's impression of what it would look like as it was strung up. Or if you want a picture of the real thing, hanging on a wall in a house in Nazareth, this is a rather old and dried up wineskin. You can see there the animal skin that was used to store the wine. And when new wine was poured into a wineskin, then of course the process of fermentation is still going on. There's lots of bubbling going on as the wine ferments, and the skin needs to be able to cope with that, with the air that is forced in through the fermentation. The skin needs to be flexible. It needs to be able to move and stretch as the wine is fermenting. So for new wine, you use a new wineskin. But the significant fact that we just need to get into our heads for this morning is this. What makes a wineskin new or old has got nothing to do with its age. It's not that the more recent it is, it's new, and the older it is, it's old. What makes the difference is this. It's all about flexibility and movement. As long as a wineskin is still able to stretch and is still flexible, it's a new wineskin. But a wineskin that can no longer flex, that has become hard and brittle, or has been stretched to its limit, that's an old wineskin. And so you could have a new wineskin that was many, many years old. As long as it was still flexible, it was still a new wineskin. But if it was quite a recently made wineskin that for some reason had maybe been left out in the sun and had gone hard and brittle, then it might be recently made, but it was an old wineskin. So you've got to stop thinking in terms of how old it is, but just simply this. Can it still move when the wine needs it to move? If it can, it's a new wineskin. If it can't, it's an old wineskin. So what's Jesus saying here? What's he saying to the Pharisees? Well, I think the new wine that he's talking about are just all the things that he has been doing in and through his ministry by the power of the Spirit. We've been working our way through Mark's gospel, and we see how right at the beginning, Jesus is baptized and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he starts in the power of the Spirit to go out through the regions around, and people are being healed, and people are being set free from demons, and miracles are happening. That's the new wine. All of those things that Mark has been describing in his gospel. The kingdom of God has come near. God is establishing his rule as king through Jesus. God is doing a new thing. It's good news. That's the new wine that Jesus is talking about. And that new wine needs a new wineskin. The new thing that God is doing through Jesus cannot be contained in the old, brittle wineskin of the rules and regulations of the Pharisees. Yes, they were right to put an emphasis on God's law. God's law is important. The Pharisees got that absolutely right. But God's law was never intended to be something that was a burden or a heavy weight upon them. According to Psalm 119, God's law is supposed to bring happiness, to be life-giving, to be our treasure, to be something we delight in, and to be wonderful. But somewhere along the way, the Pharisees had missed that. And instead, they'd created a whole heavy-weighty structure of rules and regulations, of requirements and commands, things that on another occasion Jesus calls unbearable religious demands. So that instead of delight, there were demands. And instead of blessings, there were burdens. And the Pharisees have created a rigid, brittle, unyielding, inflexible, old wineskin. And Jesus is bringing new wine. He's doing new things. And you don't put new wine into old wineskins. It won't fit into the way the Pharisees were wanting to live. But what possible relevance has that got to us here in North London in 2014? Well, Jesus is still in the business of bringing new wine. That's why we as a church are aligned with the movement that bears that name. It comes from this very Bible passage. If you'd never spotted that before, I'm sure you had. That's why a number of people are going to do the most, I can't think of a word to describe, camping in a field in Shepton Mallet. Why would anyone in their right mind choose to camp in a field in Shepton Mallet with no real facilities at all? Unless you had some kind of expectation that God might want to do something that was new and exciting and different. Because God is in the business of doing new things. It's one of the mysteries about God. God is eternally and utterly unchanging, which means we can always depend on him. But he's always doing new things, which means we can never take him for granted. We can never work out exactly what the next new thing is going to be. There's this wonderful balance, utterly unchanging, but always doing new things. God delights to pour out new wine. But God's new wine will always need new wineskins. It will need wineskins that are able to stretch, to deal with and to cope with what God is doing. And when you reach a point that a wineskin has stretched so that it can't stretch any further, then you need a new wineskin. Sounds a bit like this building, really, doesn't it? Sort of it's at the point where it can't stretch any further. Henry, come and tell us a bit more what's happening on the building.
As many of you know, we have been attempting to buy a new building on the high road in order to completely relocate the church. And the reason for doing that is this building has become an old wineskin for us. It's become a constraint to the ministry of God rather than something that facilitates our mission. And so we are trying to buy this property on the high road. It's called Solar House, and it's big. It's a very, very ambitious because we have incredibly ambitious schemes. And actually, I believe that this is a kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us as a church to really push out in mission to have an impact on North London by having an incredible high-profile building right up there on the high road with a huge number of facilities. But buying a large commercial building like this is a very complex process. And we've had to have negotiations with sitting tenants who are currently occupying the building. We're not intending to occupy the whole building. If you imagine the building split a third, two-thirds, this south block here is the portion that we will intend to occupy, building a new church auditorium on the back. And then the north wing from the lift section rightwards, we will retain as an office investment with the tenants in there. So we've had negotiations with sitting tenants. We've had to get the right advice on our tax liability. We've had to be talking to planning consultants and getting the money in place. And we're very nearly there. We're very nearly to a point of signing a contract. And I hope to be able to give you good news on that in the next little while. But we're not quite there yet. And even when we do get there, even when we do sign a contract, that'll only be one hurdle, the next hurdle, and there will be a number of other hurdles beyond that, because we will be needing to design the conversion, we'll need to be getting planning, we need to be fundraising, we need to be selling our old premises and moving and so forth. So please pray for this, because this is an incredible opportunity for this church to have an impact on hundreds of thousands of people across North London. It's a stunning opportunity to get this new wineskin so that the new wine can really have effect. But it is incredibly challenging. I'll try and keep you informed.
Thank you, Henry. It's always good to be reminded of what's happening in that area. But it's not just about the building and about us together. I believe that there's a word from God here for us also as individuals in the sense of new wine and new wineskins. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe and expect that God wants to do new things in you and through you? I think I heard one whispered yes. Okay, that's a real question. You know, it's not rhetorical. Let me ask it again. Do you believe that God wants to do new things in you and through you? Good. He does. Which means none of us have arrived on our journey of faith. When we set out following Jesus, we set out on a journey of faith. And the fact that we are here today in this building tells us we have not yet reached our destination. We are on the way. We are, and we always will be, works in progress. Now we often talk at St. Bees about our four markers of membership. And I'm sure if I were to say, what are the four markers of membership? You would immediately chorus them back to me in unison because you know them well. But did you also know that if you get a copy of our vision booklet, it looks like this, you've probably got one at home. I hope you look at it from time to time. If you haven't looked at it for a while, get it down off the shelf, blow the dust off it, read it again when you get home today. And when you find the page that lists our markers of membership, look at the page opposite. Because the page opposite has what are called the four attributes of members. For markers, for behaviors, for things that we expect people to do, but then four attributes or four things that are characteristics, the type of people we want to be. And one of those is this, that it is being committed to a journey of personal transformation. In other words, being a member of St. Bees means being open for God to keep changing you. open for God to keep doing new things in you, open for God to keep doing new things through you. And you've all told me this morning, you want that. You believe that? You expect it? No, I didn't ask if you wanted it, did I? I conned you there. You believe it? Yes? You expect it? Do you want it? I'm sort of convinced, but I'm a bit skeptical. So let's go to yet another question. If God is wanting to pour out new wine into your life, are you more like a new wineskin or an old wineskin? And remember, it's got nothing whatsoever to do with your age. Some of the newest wineskins I have ever had the privilege of encountering have been in the lives of some very elderly people who have reached a ripe age and yet are still flexible and able to move with the Spirit of God. Some of the most rigid and brittle wineskins that I've ever encountered have been in middle-aged people. Now, when I get to middle age, I'm hoping that that will not happen to me. And then when I push through that into old age, then I'm hoping that I will still be a new wineskin. Because it's not about how old you are. It's about how flexible you are to moving when the Spirit of God moves. So let's put that question in a slightly different way, a way that I just sense God prompt me to ask it as I was preparing. And it's this. If you really do want God to do new things in you and through you, is there anything in our lives, is there anything in my life, is there anything in your life that we have become so attached to that we would not be willing to give it up if God called us to do something new? Because if there's anything that we are so attached to that we could not give it up if God called us to do something new, then it's a little bit like that wineskin becoming brittle and hard. We can't flex when the Spirit of God moves. Is there anything that you are so attached to that you would not give it up if God called you to something new? Is there a job, a career, a relationship, a house, a possession, a nest egg of savings, the thought of a secure future, a pension, a quiet life, a relaxed retirement, a town you live in, a country you live in, that you would not be willing to give up if God said, I've got something new for you? There's one occasion that's recorded later in Mark's gospel where Peter comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. It's quite a statement, isn't it? Just looking around, we have mission partners who made decisions in the past to leave home and country that they knew and go and live in other countries. People who are about to go back to countries that they once lived in and return there with Gladys and Godfrey going back to Zambia later this year. We're trying to stop it happening, but God seems to be determined that they should go. So people who are willing to give up those things. Some people who could say, we've left everything just to follow you. Well, maybe God isn't calling you to leave everything, but maybe there's something that he's just saying to you, that might be in the way of the new thing that I want to do. If it is, if there's anything that's in the way of what God is wanting to do, then the danger is it's starting to feel like an old wineskin, isn't it? But if there's nothing that's in the way, if we're willing to be flexible and move, then God can keep pouring his new wine in. Let's have the worship band back up, please. We're going to be coming to a close in a moment. How do you keep a wineskin flexible? How do you stop it becoming old and brittle? Well, basically, I think it's quite simple. It's the wine that keeps the wineskin flexible. It's when the wineskin has no wine in it that it becomes hard and brittle. When you keep the wine in it, it becomes and keeps flexible. And it's as we keep ourselves open to the Holy Spirit and keep allowing Him to do new things that we stay flexible. It's sort of which comes first, the new thing or the flexibility? Well, in God's economy, they're all tied up together. It's as we keep allowing Him to do His work, allowing His Spirit to work, responding to the things that He says. That's how we keep flexible. That's why Paul exhorts and encourages us and Christians everywhere in Ephesians to go on being filled with the Spirit. So that's the invitation for today. That's the new wine. It's God's Spirit in our lives and our response to the things that God is saying and being open for God to do new things. Maybe for some of you who are going to new wine, maybe there's a sense that you think you've been going so many years. Sense that maybe for some this is going to be a year where God's going to meet with you and challenge you about a new thing that He wants to do in you in order to do it through you. And Henry, I had a sense that was for you particularly. How many years have you been to New Wine? You've lost count probably. And it must feel very familiar sometimes. I just had a sense as I was preparing this of God saying, be open that God's going to just say and do something completely new in you and through you. Just a sense of a door opening for you through New Wine this year. So just take that and wait and see what God does with that. But for all of us, you don't have to go to New Wine. You don't have to camp in a field in Shepton Mallet. Praise God. You could just come here on a Sunday because God wants to meet with each one of us. He wants to constantly be filling us with His Spirit and leading us into those new things. Let's stand as Alice and the band lead us in a song that just invites the Spirit of God to come and to work in us, to keep us new wineskins.